Now, there's no doubt that online dating is becoming one of the most popular options when looking for a significant other. Research now shows that 1 in 10 Irish people are using Tinder and 1 in 4 meet their partners online. Yet, can the culture of sharing online foster a premature feeling of intimacy, which certainly doesn't mimic the way it used to be? Well, I'm joined in studio by cyber psychology researcher Nicola Fox-Hamilton. Nicola, good morning. It is, to me, astonishing that so many people are resorting to an algorithm to find love.
It is really interesting. Online dating has become absolutely mainstream. And typically, it used to be people age 30 and over because they had what was called a lean dating market. So there weren't as many people available for them. Most people had already coupled up. And they maybe had less opportunities to get out and meet people because they were working or so on. But Tinder has changed the market quite a lot. So 18 to 24 year olds are the fastest growing market for online dating now and also the biggest market for it. So they have no problem meeting people typically, but they use it as an alternative way, an additional way to meet people, and also for fun, as a fun, entertaining way to meet people.
I mean, for people flicking through Tinder, they probably, I mean, it's a spectator sport. Have a look at that and have a look at this and the other. But I mean, are they looking for sex or are they looking for romance? Are they looking for Mr. or Ms. Right?
For the most part, they're looking for romance. Well, there's a difference between men and women. Women are looking for romance first. Men are looking for sex first, but very closely followed by romance. So the motivations for it are actually very similar to anyone looking offline or for anyone older looking online as well.
Do people have a sense of security because they're using, if you like, a matchmaker in the form of a digital matchmaker, Tinder? They feel more secure. They think in some way they won't meet the creeps.
I think anyone who's used Tinder knows that there's a very good chance they'll meet creeps because you come across them quite a lot on a platform like that. But I do think that when you start talking to someone online in a service like an online dating service, some of the aspects of how we communicate online make it easier to trust somebody and maybe disclose more information. It can lead to kind of an increased intimacy. So there's a number of kind of psychological principles at work that make that happen.
It's an accelerated process, number one, if you're having dates, you know, initially it might be once a week. It used to be going to the pub or going to the movies or something like that. You wouldn't do that 7 nights a week, but you can talk online, not alone once a night, but several times a night, several times a day, you know, building that relationship. Some would say it leads to intimacy more rapidly because, in fact, you're being more intimate more rapidly. You have more opportunities for kind of digital FaceTime.
Yep, that's definitely one aspect of it, that 24-hour access to somebody. So any moment that you have a pause in your day, you could be in touch with them. It also is because you can't see somebody. So there's a number of factors like not being able to see somebody, being slightly anonymous. When you read their texts, you read it in a voice in your head. So you assign some emotion and content to it that's not necessarily there. When you've got gaps in your knowledge about them and you've already decided that you like them, you tend to fill those gaps in your knowledge in with quite positive information. So it all leads to this feeling of really liking someone in intimacy. And so you share more information. They share more information in return. And it can build quite
quickly. So there's a rose tint at work here.
There can be, yes. Yeah. It also works the opposite way. If you encounter something very early on in a dating profile that you don't like, you immediately dismiss that person. Whereas if you encounter something positive, you're more likely then to fill in all your gaps as you go along with positive information.
So suppose someone had an aversion to the notion of sharing the price or the cost on the first date.
Mm.
That would mean your man was mean. Therefore, he's gone.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there might be a more practical person who says, well, if we share the cost of the date, the dinner, then there's no obligation, real or imagined, in this process. So you just don't know, do you?
You just don't know, yeah.
So are you wary, therefore, of the process of online dating? I mean, it's here to stay, I suspect.
Absolutely, yeah. It's only going to evolve and I think probably become more ingrained. People are using it alongside other methods of meeting someone. I'm not wary of it in so much as I'm not wary of most forms of communication online. They tend to be both helpful and for some people not helpful. I think people need to be a little bit cautious when they're using them, to watch out for maybe some of the red flags where there can be problems. So you've probably heard of catfishing, where someone misrepresents themselves online. And online dating fraud is another problem. They're not, you know, the numbers of people that get taken in by things like this are quite small. But for those who do get taken in, it is a problem.
Yeah. How are they taken in? Because eventually you have to meet. I mean, well, that's the whole
thing.
Idea.
Yeah, that's the thing to look out for. It's the person who doesn't want to meet, who never wants to meet, who wants to talk by phone or talk by instant message over and over and over again for ages without wanting to meet. Most people, their whole purpose of being on there is to meet someone face to face. So if it's going past a week or two and there isn't a really good reason for them not to meet, then you should really be very careful.
And then they may want to do a bit of sexting or, yeah, you know, online stripping or whatever it is they,
yeah,
may do.
Yeah.
And this could be, that might be the motivation of the character at the other end.
Yeah, could be. There's a number of problems where someone wants to do that, where someone maybe wants to engage in sexting or video or that kind of thing where they can blackmail the person. Or with online dating fraud, they'll start by asking for a small amount of money. And then if they get that, it's kind of like the foot in the door and they'll build up and ask for more and more and more. And people have been taken for quite a lot of money.
Now, there's another issue. If you go on a first date in the normal way, you meet someone in a pub. And I was struck around town the other night that the noise level in ordinary pubs is so high that it's actually hard to converse. So where the real conversation is happening is out the back where people are smoking. So the only real conversations are happening around smoking.
Yeah.
So they can meet, they can mate, they can die of cancer together. So, but you know, it is one of the laws of unintended consequences that you drive people out of the pub to the smoking areas to have any real human contact. But if you meet face to face, having established a contact on Tinder, whatever, but the image that you've used is one of yourself in your halcyon days, and now you're 10 years older.
That happens quite a lot. There was one piece of research that found that the more attractive a woman was in her photograph, the older the photograph was. But lots and lots of people do use quite deceptive photographs. They use the best possible photograph of themselves.
As you would.
As you do. And some of them are also photoshopped and look a little better than they should. But most people do try and walk a very fine line between advertising themselves, marketing themselves so that they can find someone that they really like, and not being so deceitful that the person will be utterly disappointed when they meet them, because that would defeat the purpose.
Because they actually
want to
meet
someone.
It'll be over before it starts.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So most people try and walk that line, and sometimes they get it wrong, but most of the time they're trying to.
But is there any evidence to say which way is best? The old way, if you have that kind of social milieu in which you can have the old way, you know, slowly getting to know, and, you know, friendship becomes something more and all the rest of it, versus the fast track of Tinder?
Actually, the research shows that relationships formed through meeting somewhere online versus offline are as successful. Marriages are just as good. They don't tend to break up any more or less than meeting offline. Marriage satisfaction is just as good. So it actually seems to be a very successful way when people meet someone that they like.
All right. Well, at least unlike the matchmaker, they are selecting themselves. I mean,
yes,
that they actually are making choices. This text: I have recently started dating online using Bumble, and to be honest, it's a lot better than I thought it would be. I can message 4 or 5 guys at once and then decide which one or two I like and try to arrange actual dates. The only thing is that a lot of the lads will message for a few days and then just go silent. It's either that they've met someone else in the meantime, or they're actually interested, or they're not actually interested in a date, just someone to chat to. You need a bit of a thick skin to handle the rejection from someone who hasn't even met you. Well, there's a lot of contradictions in that, because number one, she's happy to play 5 or 6 guys along,
well, she's
and then reject
them.
3 of them, and she complains when some of the guys do the same to her.
I think there's a number of things going on there. So one, Bumble's actually really good because it allows women to get in touch first, which overcomes a lot of the problems with Tinder. It happens a lot that people start writing to each other online and then disappear. It's sometimes called ghosting. And it's because it's very easy to say and do things online that you wouldn't necessarily do offline. You don't see the other person's reaction. You don't see if you're hurting them, having an effect on them. In so much as it's easy to say something to someone, it's also easy to disappear, because you don't have to deal with any of the consequences of having ignored them and how they feel about that. So that's one of the problems with online dating, that can happen quite a lot. And you do need a little bit of a thick skin, I think, and in different ways. So women get very strange messages sometimes from guys whereas guys tend not to get messages from women at all. And that's one of the problems for them. They feel like they're putting all these messages out there and nobody's responding. So women still don't approach men on online dating. They still maintain those same very traditional attitudes that they have offline.
They should be pursued.
They feel like that, yeah. And it's a shame because when women connect with men on online dating, it's much more likely to be successful.
Okay, well, it's fascinating stuff. And cyber psychology researcher Nicola Fox-Hamilton, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Coming up next, a new UK report shows that people born in the 1970s are twice as likely to receive an inheritance compared to those born 30 years earlier. Why? Don't know, but Owen McGee will give us a lowdown.